Welcome to Dad Life with Foz. My name's Luke Forrest, aka Foz. Alongside my beautiful partner Emily, I'm about to become a new dad, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. So instead of doing the research privately, I thought I'd invite some of my mates along who've done this all before. And hopefully, along the way, I'm going to work out what the hell I'm doing when this baby is born. Here we are back at episode 8 of the Dad Life podcast. My name's Luke Forrest. We're back here at Royal Stacks. It's a great venue. You've got Hulk Smash Food out there just smashing away a few more burgers.
I tell you what, I apologise, Foz. I've brought my mate Hulk, who is a competitive speed eater. And sorry, he might be he might be causing some real damage to the Royal Stacks stock price at the moment.
Seeing as Danny does sponsor the podcast, we haven't paid for the food. But anyway, let's get on to some of the fun stuff. Our next guest. He played 28 games for the Saints. He played 17 games for Bentley A&A Cricket Club. And now he's found himself over in Philly, punting in the NFL. It's Aaron Sipos. How are you?
Oh, shit. That's a great entrance. I love that. Those 17 games at A&A were pure quality, too.
I was about to say,
thanks for having me, boys. I really appreciate it.
Would you actually give up an NFL contract to come back and play? Because we need a couple of players at A&A next year.
Not in your life, mate. Big Johnny Smith has got some work to do if he wants to get me back there, that's for sure.
Now, before moving to America to pursue an NFL career, how did you end up there? How did the process go? Obviously, you got delisted from St Kilda.
Thanks, mate.
You did come at Yana.
Jeez, welcome to the show, mate.
Which is hypothetically fired.
And it
was...
You didn't even get the guy a burger, right? We ate in front of him, and now you're reminding him that he was delisted from St Kilda.
It all works out in the end.
Yeah, I know. Spoiler alert, it does, but still.
It's like he's letting me know that I used shit once.
Don't talk us through that process. Yeah. When did you work out that that is what you wanted to do, to go over the NFL and punt?
Good question. Yep. It took me probably a couple of years. I was, after I finished at the Saints, decided to go play at Williamstown for a little bit and see if I could get myself back into the pros. I was 22 at the time when I got delisted, so I thought I still kind of had a chance to get back in there. But obviously didn't quite work out, and I decided probably end of the 16 season, I think 2016, I decided to kind of turn around and give the pro kick a bit of a go.
Because you're always a big kick.
Yeah, the kicking was never a problem, so maybe I should have done it sooner. But, you know, everything else may have was running ability. Yeah.
Can't run.
Aerobic capacity, pretty poor.
Can't lift. Can't push off anybody to take a grab. So everything else was
very limited. You know,
limited. Honestly, 5 years was incredible. To be honest.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, just decided to, you know, make the move in there. And Nathan Chapman's obviously done some incredible things with Pro Kick Australia here to get them kids over to college football now, and just reached out to him and, kind of got to work halfway through 2017. And then once that season had finished, 9 months of full preparation to go over there and play college football. So,
and what were you doing? What were you studying at college?
I was doing exercise science here, and then a teaching degree, and I was able to continue that on over there. So,
and talk us about the college football. That's almost as big as the NFL over there.
It's probably bigger.
Is it okay?
Depending where you are, it's probably bigger. So I went to Auburn University, down south in the great state of Alabama.
Yep.
They live and breathe it. So it's a huge thing over there. And, they don't have an NFL team there, obviously, in Alabama. So the next best thing is college football.
Beautiful. Tailgate parties?
Well, not for me personally, unfortunately, because I had to play. But I think the wife certainly enjoyed her time at the tailgate. So good for her. It was a great effort. So we had a few people come over, and they certainly got after it. I'd see them after a game, and they were shit-faced. So it was pretty good to watch, that's for sure.
And as far as your first season, pretty successful. You did well. I did watch your first game.
Yeah,
and you punted very, very well.
I think it went downhill from there, but that was all right. So it was good. I was very happy with my season how it went. I think they were pretty happy with me as well. And obviously the way the NFL works, it's a brutal business, and you never know when you're going to get the opportunity to keep going or where it's going to finish up. But so far, so good.
Mate, amazing achievement by you. And probably the best achievement in your life could quite possibly be your daughter.
I knew we were going somewhere. Yeah, was
all the ANA bowling average.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty darn impressive. Well, yeah. Me. So
now, when did you and Rach decide that you wanted kids? And was it hard to conceive? Was it pretty easy?
For us, obviously we didn't really have to try for too long, so I guess you can kind of say it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
That was obviously pretty smooth sailing, which is great. And we thought about obviously having kids for a long time. I've been with Rachel for 10 years now in total, and been married for almost three, coming up to three. And it was the right time to be able to do it, I guess. So it worked out.
And well. How old Sadie? How old Sadie?
Sadie is just over 3 months now.
So she's still young.
She's 4 months on March 20th.
How'd you go travelling over here with a three-month-old?
Mate, she was cruise control, actually.
Really?
Honestly, yeah. I think, I know, 28 hours of flying time is a long time, but I guess her being kind of 3 months made it probably a little bit easier. The first time we got her, trying to get into a bit of a routine, particularly at the night time, the first flight was night time, so pretty smooth. She did very, very well. Cool. And then the second flight was like her daytime, I guess, and you kind of work around it.
Yeah.
Maybe feed her a little bit more so she's a little bit quieter.
Yep.
But besides that, she was actually really, really good.
Baby Nurofen?
When we got here, because she struggled a lot. Like we got here on the Thursday night and the Friday was 30 degrees and she hadn't had anything over zero.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow. Yeah, so she really struggled. So a little bit of baby Nurofen to kind of get the job done. And.
Yeah.
Mate, Bob's your uncle.
And how did Rach go during the pregnancy? Was it smooth or any complications or anything pretty smooth?
I don't have much to tell you, mate.
Morning
sickness early on.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, nothing too bad for the first kind of 12 weeks, the first trimester. And then after that, she did a really, really good job. So she kind of got recommended to do some exercises and she likes doing that stuff, so it's easy for her, and she just absolutely destroyed it. So
that's like ever
unbelievable. It's like they find a way. You look at them and they just find a way.
I actually asked the girl today, I said, when did you actually know that you want kids? Because as a guy, I would not want to do that. I would not want to give birth. Like, I wouldn't want to give birth. I wouldn't want to carry that. Like, it's an amazing thing the females do.
For a man, I mean, the flu is bad enough.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's an ordeal, isn't it?
Oh, no, it is. Well, anything's an ordeal.
Yeah.
We sound like we're dying.
It's true.
We want to give up on life. So,
it's amazing what the female body can do.
Seriously, it's unbelievable. It was so cool to watch, actually, too.
One thing I haven't been able to ask any of the guests, because I obviously haven't lived in America, how's the healthcare system over there in regards to...
Well, different.
Is it?
Yeah. Different. If you're not in a kind of situation financially, it's going to be pretty darn hard for you to be able to do and stuff. It's not like here at all.
Yeah.
So obviously the better healthcare you have, the better situation that you're in. So it is pretty tough for a lot.
Is the public system pretty ordinary?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nothing like here at all. So it's it is tough for some people to be able to kind of do it.
But you got looked after all right,
I did. Yeah. So it kind of helps me. So life's good.
So do the Philadelphia Eagles have healthcare? Does the NFL provide healthcare today? Right. No, that's interesting.
Yeah. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that would actually be the case? But there you go.
Did you do birthing? That's enough from you two. Thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Did you do birthing classes? Did they help you at all?
Shit.
I reckon every single person said this over they borrowed. I think one person's done it.
We did it, and it was like a baby 101, and they tell you, this is the lead up, and this is what you're going to get afterwards, and all of that shit goes out the window once that baby's born. It's no joke. It's just like,
mate, we're up to episode 8, and I'm just thankful that this show isn't sponsored by a birthing club, because there's been not one glowing endorsement.
No.
Not one. Not out of 8.
No.
Everyone says waste of time.
And I haven't done one, and I don't plan on doing it.
I recommend it. Mate, they're all different. Just go with the flow.
If your partner wants to do it, do it.
Of course.
Well,
and
that was the case for me. Yeah. So, you got to do what you got to do. Yeah. They're in complete control. And you're just going to have to roll with the punches a little bit.
Who was the one that did all the research? Was that you or Rach?
Oh, it was Rachel.
I
did a little bit of reading here and there. And
what was
a couple of books and stuff to make sure I knew what I was doing. But besides that, Rachel was
What was your role leading up to it like? Did you have to put together the cot?
I did all the building. I did all the building, which was good. So IKEA was a beautiful thing. So shout out to fucking
IKEA,
real good.
They're everywhere. IKEA.
So that was actually really good. I just did all that kind of stuff, which was great. Made life easy for me. And then, in terms of the supporting on the day, it was kind of hold your hand.
Yeah.
Push.
this is the next question.
Hold your hand and push. That's what this podcast should be called.
I'll get home. Well, to Em. Well, Aaron just said all I've got to do on the day is hold your hand and you push.
She should be all right with it.
Yeah, she should be all right. Well, this is what I want to say. Talk us through the day of the birth.
All right.
Was there anything you weren't expecting? How did you go? What was your role in there? How did Rach do it? She obviously did really well. But.
Well, for starters, I didn't expect it to happen on the day that it did.
Okay.
So
was she premature?
Sadie was 10 days early. Okay. So not premature, but 10 days early. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning and Rachel's waters broke. So Sadie was ready to roll. She was coming. Yeah. And 5 a.m. call, and then I was like, all right, Rachel, I guess you just go have a shower and get yourself right. So did that for got herself ready, and then we left at about 6:30 our place.
Okay.
Got to the hospital. Rachel got checked out, and originally they were going to send us home.
Okay.
They were like, come back in 12 hours then we'll be able to kind of start it. But Rachel's like, nah.
It's coming.
That's not happening.
Oh, yeah, we're doing this.
Funny enough, Rachel actually had a huge contraction when they were actually seeing her at about, it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. So they were like, we'll keep you here because she had a massive contraction. So she was there for the time. So pretty cruisy for the morning. And then the contractions really started to get her at about like 12:30. So she was starting to hurt. So the old epidural got involved.
Yeah, okay.
Which...
Did she want that?
She was all for it. Yeah. And I was like, I don't blame you. The look on her face was like scary. I was like, all right, we need to get this going for you.
Yeah.
Rachel's, a tough woman. She tries to tough it out a little bit, but not like, let's just tone it down a little bit and like do the right thing.
If you do need it, take it. So. Yeah. As Gorney said, it's like breaking your leg and trying to play footy with
it. Exactly. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. Maybe a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Like, that's, but I get the idea, Gorney, so good work.
I'm not sure that Gorney is the authority on what it's like to give birth, but thank you, Max.
If you do actually listen to Gorney's podcast, don't listen to one thing that he said.
That was the worst episode. Even though it had the most downloads, it was the most, in terms of information, the most useless episode we've done.
Fantastic. That's awesome.
So then how long did the actual labour go for?
About 45 minutes.
Jesus.
Actual pushing period? Rachel was an animal.
Okay,
45 minutes or something like that. So sorry to anybody else that has real trouble. Rachel.
Beautiful. And obviously a natural birth, not a cesarean.
No, they're all natural, my friend. So
beautiful.
Good.
And now talk us through the feeling when you first saw Sadie. How was that? Best feeling of your life?
Yeah, I cried.
Yeah, I did.
And I don't feel like I cried too much, but I definitely got pretty emotional.
Yeah.
We kept it a surprise too, so we didn't actually know whether we're having a boy or a girl. So
not a whole lot of people do that these days.
Yeah, so a lot of people like to find out early in that, which is each to their own, but we kind of just kept it to ourselves. And, it probably made it a little bit more special, to be honest.
And what was your role besides holding the hand? Was there anything Rach wanted you to do?
I got involved. Yeah. I had to over there. Like, it was weird. Like, they came up to me and...
There's a health system that bad. There's no doctors there.
One nurse. Doctor pops in here and there, and they're like, hey, you want to hold the other leg? I'm like, what the hell is this all about?
Jeez.
So talk about an experience and a half. Yeah, and I was like... Right there in the action. So, I'll watch the whole thing, my friend.
Well, Josh Miller delivered his. Yeah, you were pretty close.
Yeah, I was pretty darn close. Yeah. So, Rachel was kind of too quick for me. I was like a bit unprepared myself. So,
Wow, that's amazing. Now, what about the first day back at home? How's that for a game changer?
Geez, that's such a blur. Like, honestly, it's just like so much is happening and like absolute blur. But you're just like, Rachel breastfed, so she's like going every 2 hours type thing. Yeah. And
has Sadie been sleeping well?
Sleeping really good.
Yeah.
So nighttime, she's absolutely killing it, which is great. So that's made life a lot easier. Daytime here and there, but she's getting a lot better during the daytime too. But if she sleeps at nighttime, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. And is there anything, I suppose, I know it's only 3 months, but is there anything you're missing from your life before Sadie?
I miss going out and enjoying a beer with a few of the boys, here and there. That obviously comes at a price. But No, I mean, to be honest, it's, you know, it's obviously a life change, but it's obviously for the better. Like me personally, I mean, I absolutely love it. And, yeah, I mean, it's been incredible.
It's a new chapter. Kind of
thing. It's a new chapter. Yeah. You kind of move. You're still not going to miss out on that much. You're just going to have to limit yourself, I guess. That's the way I see it. So it's not shutting yourself off. It's just like,
yeah,
let's just, you know, cruise control a little bit.
Now who's doing the nappies?
We're sharing.
You're sharing?
Yeah, I'm doing my part.
50-50?
Yeah, 50-50. Yeah, I'm doing my part. So it's, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm trying to do my part, mate.
Yeah. And the best thing about being a dad?
Mate, every time, just when they wake up or they're messing around, you get to see that smile or their laugh, and, you know, you just get to play with them and just see how happy they are. It's incredible. And you obviously get your cries and that, you know, that doesn't go away. And Sadie's ones are freaking loud too, so they burst the eardrum sometimes. But that's where you get a real kick out of it, is you see them develop and grow. It's awesome.
Now, you've always been in the States, which you've been away from your family and friends. How tough's that been in regard? Have you struggled with that at all?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We were lucky that Rachel's mum actually came over before the birth, and she got to spend a little bit of time there. So that kind of first couple of months was really, really good. But after that, it was obviously just us two. So it was a bit of a grind and that. And lucky for me, I guess with what I do have the extra time off. So I'm able to be around a lot more and that, which kind of makes it a little bit easier on Rachel's part, which is good. And, but yeah, it has its challenges. Yeah. You know, you can't just kind of dish her off and just say, "Hey, Granny, take it for a little bit. We're going to go for a couple of hours somewhere," or things like that. So,
you're back now for 4 weeks. That's a good time to be.
Sports nerd question. Sorry, sports nerd question. Right? So, Philadelphia Eagles play away at somewhere like, I don't know, Los Angeles or Seattle or something. How long are you away from that household environment? Because, yes, it's a game, but there's travel, there's hotels. I mean, how long are you actually away for an away game?
I travel the day before, like in the afternoon, stay that night on the Saturday night, play the game, and then we fly back that night. So it's only an overnight stay.
Does Rach ever come with you?
No,
never.
Right, no.
Yeah, okay.
But do some of the other, when you say you, do you mean it's like, because you're the punter, you get to come later? Do some of them go earlier?
Everyone travels in the
afternoon. I thought maybe, he just kicks. Travel. He just kicks so he can come tomorrow.
If I had it my way, I'd rock up on the day.
Right, okay, cool. I was just checking.
Here's another sports question. Would there be guys in your team that don't know who you are?
Depends where you're asking. Maybe in Detroit and stuff. But Philly's pretty good, actually, luckily. But that would not surprise me if that was the case. I have no doubt in my mind that definitely happens.
Because I look at it, I'm not an NFL. I don't know it from a bar of soap. So I'm not. I watched my first game when Aaron played.
Great.
But it looks like the list is huge. It looks like a million people on the list.
Yeah, there's 50.
Yeah, it's not that many, is it?
It's just that we have, like, everyone's on the sideline.
Okay.
Like, coaching staff. Strength and conditioning stuff. So it always looks like there's so many more when really it's like it's just a normal like list. Like,
how often do you train all together? Do you train in a separate, like the punters, the front line?
I don't have a lot to do with kind of the main group and stuff. Like, we're pretty separated.
I've already asked, how'd you go traveling with a 4-year-old? Yeah. How important is routine?
A 4-month-old.
A 4-month-old. Okay. Sorry.
You were close.
When we come back in 2026, that's a great question.
It's really good.
How important is routine?
Yeah, I think it is pretty key, but loosely. I thought personally, like, nighttime was the crucial part. I thought that need to figure out a nighttime routine to make that a little bit easier, because if they're not sleeping well at nighttime, this could be really tough. So, I found that to be a real good thing pretty early, and I feel like it's kind of doing the trick right now. Yep. And then hopefully later on, when, you know, there's all these, you know, things about regression and stuff like that in terms of their sleeping time and stuff, hopefully that kind of doesn't happen too much, because we've done that kind of little routine early. Beautiful. But it took us a little bit of time during the daytime to kind of figure it out. We kind of just kind of let her do her thing and a little bit and stuff like that, without kind of knowing, like, oh, is she tired? Is she like getting worked up and things like that? So,
and what worked best for you in regards to the daytime? Were you putting her down every few hours?
Yeah. Okay. So we would kind of, like, you know, basically, you know, wake up in the morning at like 7 a.m. She was doing pretty good to get to 7. Normally that's about like 3 or 4 hours since her last feed. So we'll give her a feed. And then you kind of let her, you know, play anywhere between like an hour to an hour and 15 type thing. And then you kind of, you know, you're meant to get signs, which I had no idea what we were doing. So what signs were they saying? Was crying or is she scratching her eye? I got no idea, but just kind of roughly around that time, and you guess you're going meant to pick them
up. Have you had any issues with it?
She had a couple of issues, actually. Yeah. Well, she had one big one. So Rachel actually started breastfeeding her. Obviously, that's the way she wanted to go about it, and most obviously people do. And we did that for about – she did that for about 6 weeks, and we found out that she had a milk protein allergy.
Oh, wow.
Basically, Rachel couldn't eat any dairy any of the protein. The milk was really affecting her. So,
And how did that affect her?
So stomach issues obviously were pretty bad, and then the color of her poo actually changes.
Yeah,
so
right.
It goes from I guess what they say is a nice kind of mustard color to a dark green.
Well, yeah.
So you pick up the signs on
you
that.
Know that
good.
Yeah.
You know
that.
You know the changes, and then you get it tested, and actually found out there was actually some blood in. Wow. In there too. So it was pretty obviously serious, and she was crying a lot, wouldn't be able to get her down. So, there was a period from 4 to 6 weeks that was really, really tough. And lucky, Rachel's mum was there to kind of help her, because I think if it was just us two and I was still playing at the time, so if it was just Rachel, I think it could have been really bad. She wouldn't have known what she was doing and stuff.
It's a hard thing with kids. They can't tell you what's going on. You got to work it out.
And then they cry literally for everything. So how are you actually meant to know exactly what the hell they want? So, it was a tough ordeal.
Yeah.
And Rachel obviously kind of struggled a little bit with it because she thought it was her. It's like, well, it's not you. It's just, things happen like that.
So Rach can't have dairy now.
We changed the formula.
Oh,
dairy was too hard because the dairy was that extreme, is he had to look at the packaging and say if it read that made in a milk product factory, well, I can't have it.
Yeah,
so, it's just too hard. So changed the formula, and it's been night and day since. So watch out for that one.
I will. And how'd you go picking names? Was there a few arguments? Was there?
We both loved the girl name.
Okay,
that was always an absolute shoo-in. A couple of the boy names, which I obviously won't say because who knows what happens down the track, but they were kind of up in the air, but the girl name was not an issue. We were always happy to go with that one. So that means
you're having another one or two kids.
Maybe one more, but not anytime soon, I'll tell you that. Oh, yeah.
Now, what do you reckon being a dad's taught you, and how have you grown?
It taught me to, I guess, not that I don't think I was ever a selfish person or anything like that, but it makes you open up about hey, life's not just about you anymore. it's all about them. So, I think that's probably been the main thing, is that, you're so used to the normal lifestyle that you have before a kid, and you're happy to enjoy yourself. I don't know how you're going to go.
This is what my mates want to put a camera on my head.
You're going to struggle. Yeah.
Well, why do one of our mates want to put a camera on my house and just see how I go? I actually can't sit still.
I actually want to see that too, because I don't know how you're going to go. You do too much shit to
sell. I'm concerned for myself.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
That's the second season, and that's as you fall apart.
Yeah, I like that.
No, you're going to be great.
That'd be a good season if I just fell apart gradually, one episode after the other.
The beauty of it, though, is that if you can't sit still, just grab that carrier
and
chuck her on, and away you go, mate. Yeah. Just life's like normal. It's perfect.
Wow. Got 7 weeks to go.
That's great.
Now, I've got a few questions from socials for you. These are always good.
I love it.
This is from Gracie Wilson. How do you juggle being a dad and the demands of the NFL?
Good question.
What a bad question.
That's a really good question. I guess for me, the job that I do gives me a little bit more freedom. If I was
a quarterback,
if I was a quarterback or anything else that had a playbook that's this big and having to read it and be there, then it'd probably be really, really hard. But for me, quite fortunate to, play in the position that I do, which gives me a bit more time to spend at home with her, with Sadie. And, it's obviously demanding. You do your travelling, as we spoke about before, and everything like that.
But that can come with any job.
It can come with most things. So what I do is a lot better than, obviously, your 9-to-5 and things like that. So,
and just be present when you're there.
Exactly. And obviously Dad may take a couple of weeks off and that, and they're back at it. Whereas for me, I've got all this time to be able to kind of spend with her, and life's good.
That's it. This is from Scooter 19.
Oh, geez, here we go.
Would you consider retiring from the NFL to come back and play cricket at Bentley AMA?
I'm sure this question's been asked already by another member of the team.
I know, but I need to ask again.
Yeah.
Is that a yes or no?
Scoot needs to take a severe pay cut if he wants me to join, mate. So
he does take too much money.
He does take too much money for not much output.
It's an amateur cricket club. Who's even being paid? Yeah. What is this?
It's true. It's true.
We actually came down and got about 35 burgers from Royal Stacks the other night.
Jeez.
For your training.
Tell you what.
Mate, do you want to all round it? I go, all right.
I was going to say, they've upped the ante a little bit.
Jeez.
Hello, we've got our sponsors up.
Dang.
This is from Kay Butler. What is your go-to book when you are reading Sadie's stories?
I don't read her books, mate.
Don't you?
that's Rachel's job.
Oh, is it?
Nah, we've actually got a good one. Actually, one of the girls in America actually got her like a Goodnight Australia book.
Nice.
So like, you know, give her a thoughtful thing to be able to do, and I read her those ones, so she knows where there's different parts of Australia and that, and nice. That's the way I do it.
She's
American.
She's American. Yeah,
but, she's gonna, you know. She's going to be here, and this is going to be the homeland, so she needs to know all these things. Yeah, that's good.
I do have to come over and watch a game.
Yeah, be my guest.
Can I still get in at my age to a tailgate party with a baby?
Yeah, especially at Philly.
Really?
You can do anything at Philly. Right? Just watch that Silver Linings Playbook movie, and that is absolutely true. They're crazy there. No joke.
When does your preseason start back, or are you on it now?
Well, preseason.
Yeah.
But, like we kind of have two little spurts. So I go back on April 25th and we do like kind of 5-6 weeks. Just kind of nothing too stressful or anything. It's just like, you know, ball work and stuff like that. I'll just obviously kick and things like that to kind of just get the repetition. Nothing really too stressful. And then we have like training camp, which goes for about 30 days. Practice every day, so it is a bit of a grind for most of the guys on the team, and then the season starts in September, so we do have a lot of time off.
So every day as in 7 days, so there's no days off?
Yeah, we have one day off, and then it's 6 days of practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you want to get your, I mean, jokes aside, you want to get your sleep, you don't want to be sleep deprived with the baby.
Very true.
With that type of situation where you have no days off.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Yeah, right.
It is, and that's true. Like, obviously, you still have to kind of concentrate and get as much sleep as possible in that back half of the year too, in the last 6 weeks of the little one, which was challenging. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
There you go. Now, this is something we do every week. We get the partner to write something little about you. So don't cry.
Yeah.
Here we go. Aaron is literally the best girl dad there ever was. He wants to be involved 24/7. Walks in minus 10 degrees in Philadelphia snow, nappies, night fees, choosing girls' outfits. That doesn't surprise me. And wanting to put headbands on Sadie, you name it. He does it. Not only does he do it because he's totally obsessed with her, but he wants to try and help me out too, which we love. On a side note, how things have changed. Since arriving back into Australia for a holiday, his favourite destination is no longer the pub for a beer, but going to Baby Bunting on his own. He's already been there twice in 5 days.
Wow. That's a leap from her too,
she's
by the way.
Well.
That's
she's
very, very
well.
Good. And so, that is, in fact, a true freaking story. I cannot even deny that.
So we go to the pub after this?
Yeah. Phone's already off, mate.
No, well, thanks for coming in. On behalf of us and everyone who's known you growing up, we are very proud of you, of where you got to and what you've achieved now. You've been there a year. You'll probably have a long career there. Who knows? But you should be very proud of yourself. So thanks for coming in.
No worries, mate. Thank you for having me.